Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Righteousness Radio. I'm excited to be here as always, and we've got another great show for you today. Today, I am going to talk about my vision of hell, and before I get into that, I would just like to let you know about that song that we just heard. That is Hands of the Healer. That is the signature song of Sons of the Righteousness Radio. And it's by Nate Mariachi. If you want to know anything about his music, go to natemariachi.com. He's an awesome praise and worship leader. The song's off a CD called Rise from Zion. And it's just fantastic. And I've told you guys about it before if you're a regular listener. But anyway, you know, last year I had a vision of hell. Now I have this on CD, and on the back of the CD it gives another date. And I was just looking at a thing that I printed or wrote on my tablet. I have it all written out on my tablet, and the date is on the bottom. Actually, it was 12. It was, let's see, when was it? It was December 21st, 2014. I have April 2013 on the back of the CD. So if you ever get a hold of one, just kind of, you know, don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to the inside. But anyway, had what I believe was a 4-hour encounter of hell. And, you know, I had posted, you know, what did I see? You know, when I did the promo for this, I did posted what did I see? Who did I see? Well, I'm going to answer those questions today and hopefully a little bit more. If you have any questions about this, I'm going to invite people to call into the show. You can call and listen or call in and ask a question while we're live. The number is 1-713-955-0563 to call in if you have a question at any time about what I'm going to be talking about. To me, this is very serious. I'm going to tell you what happened the following day after I had this. This is a series of dreams and visions and an encounter in hell. And, you know, I still to this day wonder why God visited the visions and the dreams on me. But anyway, you know, it was a night like any other normal night. You know, I drifted off to sleep, and all of a sudden I started falling down this hole, you know, this endless hole. And I was screaming at the top of my lungs, and I didn't know why. I was just screaming. And, you know, I'm not going to hit the foundation of where I landed. I started hearing people screaming. You know, I heard people screaming. And I was screaming. I heard people screaming. And I woke up after that. It didn't last very long. That was a sequence of two dreams that I had, and then I went into some visions. And I'm going to tell this in as much detail as I possibly can. I woke up, and I walked around. I kind of gathered myself and, like, what was that, you know? And I went back to sleep, and I went right back into that. The same dream. And this time, I saw an endless lake of active lava. Like, it was like a lake. And I was walking on the volcanic ash. Now, at this point when this is happening, I'm not freaking out. I'm just walking around. I'm not in any danger. I'm not hurting. I remember how hot and how dry it was, and how hard it was to breathe. And I saw multitudes of people. I saw multitudes of people that were in deep, they were in deep sorrow. They were begging for mercy, and they were repenting, if you can believe that. We're in hell, and there's people repenting and crying, and it's noisy, and there's not a moment's peace. And then I looked over, and in another section, and I'm going to just, that's the word I'm going to use, another section, I saw infamous, and I mean not unfamous, non-famous and famous ministers. I'm not going to name any names of any ministers I saw, because I'm just not going to do that. But I saw ministers surrounded by their congregations, famous and non-famous ministers surrounded by their congregations. And the ministers that I saw, famous and non-famous, were in deeper sorrow than the people that I saw prior to going to the section where I saw the ministers. They were repenting and crying out for mercy, and it seemed like they were in deeper torment than the other people that they had led astray. They were repenting for the people that they had led astray. And I'm just looking around, and I'm, oh my gosh, look at all, and I mean, it's crazy. And all these people were in agony. They were in torment. Now, the first thing I want to say was I called my mom right after I had this dream and these visions, and I had called my dad because I always let him know about the dreams and visions that I have. I called my dad, and I called my mom and told him what was going on. And everything I saw, as much as I can remember what I saw. And, you know, they were shocked and amazed. Like I said, I don't know why God chose to visit this on me, but he did. And anyway, so I woke up from that second dream where I saw all the famous preachers and all the infamous preachers and just other groups of multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people mourning and begging for mercy and deep, deep sorrow. Like I said, the famous ministers were in deeper regret than any of the people that they had led astray or the other people that I saw that were there. There was a multitude upon, I can't tell you, innumerable people that were there. But anyway, after that, I had a series of two dreams. The first one wasn't as long as the second one. And then I went into some visions. And I was just laying there basically in bed, still as a statue. I didn't say anything. I just, the pictures that I saw, if you know what a little kid's viewfinder is, where you stick the pictures in and you click it and it just shows you different pictures, that's kind of how it was. But anyway, the first thing that I saw as a picture was a large broom, and this broom was sweeping people into hell, just sweeping. I mean, it was like nobody's business. They're sweeping people into what I call the awful place. I called it the awful place when I recorded the CD. They were just sweeping. The broom was just sweeping people. I know they're just going in by the droves. And I remember listening to Charles and Francis Hunter. If you know anything about them, they had a big healing ministry a long time ago, 20 or 30 years ago. They had a huge healing ministry. And Charles Hunter said that, I don't remember if it was him or somebody that talked to him, said that they had a dream, and out of 2,000 people, there was 1,950 people a minute going into hell. And I didn't even think about this till I was preparing to do this show, but only 50 people out of 2,000 were getting into heaven. And you can just take or leave that if you want to. I'm just, you know, telling you how it kind of matches up with what I saw. Like I said, I didn't know anything about what Charles, I didn't think anything about what he said until I was getting ready for this, and it just kind of hit my mind. But anyway, the next picture that I saw the broom. And let me let you know that I was watching these pictures for a length of time, okay? It wasn't just one right after the other. I mean, I'm not going to say soak in the picture, but each picture lasted a while. And something that happened when the visions started to come was all of a sudden these demons were tormenting me mercilessly. And they were laughing. They were talking. Remember when I said there was no peace in hell? And there's constant, you know, ramble. Like in heaven, we're gonna be busy, and there's gonna be constant things to do. Well, in hell, that's the same way, except it's torment. And so these demons were laughing like psychotic clowns. That's the way I describe it, because that's what it sounded like. The devil and Jesus both know that I hate clowns. I don't like clowns, and so that's what it reminded me of. And they were mocking me while I was seeing these pictures, and they were saying things like, "Evangelist, evangelist, evangelist, what are you going to do now, evangelist? What are you going to do now, evangelist? These people belong to us. You can't do anything about this. It's too late for these people, evangelist." And that phrase kept going and going and going and going and going. I mean, it was, you could just put your mind, if you can wrap your mind around that. It's kind of hard to do. But they were tormenting me the whole time I was watching these pictures. And it didn't stop until all the visions ended. That's the thing about that part of the encounter of what happened. None of that stopped until the visions ended. So I'm watching all these people being swept by this broom into hell, and it's multitudes upon multitudes of people. And then you've got demons in your ears, it seemed like 24/7, in your ears, mocking you, laughing, and just being an utter torment and distraction, and saying, "Evangelist, evangelist, you can't do anything about this." And, I was talking to somebody on the phone about this one time. This was a couple of days after it had happened, and I said, they called me evangelist. They didn't say my name. They called me evangelist. And the person that I was talking to was like, well, that's the office you walk, or that's the function that you walk in, and they know that. And so that was news to me. But anyway, the next picture that I saw, after looking at this tormenting picture for a while, was I saw all of a sudden all these big churches and all these small churches start to burn up. They were in flames. And there was people sitting in the pews while these churches were burning. And I'm just sitting there looking at this going, why don't these people get out of these churches? They're on fire. They were sitting in the pews listening to preaching and doing whatever you do, probably playing on Facebook or on their phones or whatever. They were just lollygagging while the preaching was going on. I mean, they were paying attention, but they were also doing, you know, what people do when they while they're listening to preaching. And all of a sudden, I saw this one man. Now, I don't know who it was. I saw this one man while these churches were burning try to rescue as many people out of the buildings as he possibly could. And he didn't get that many people out of the buildings. He might have took 1 out of 10 or 2 out of 10, something like that, a very few that he was able to rescue. And something else I noticed about what happened to these people, there were mealworms, maggots, and some other kind of worm that I can't describe. There was some other worm that I cannot describe. They were devouring the people while they were listening to the preaching in the pews. And that was just horrible. I mean, could you imagine maggots crawling all over you? I mean, just the thought of maggots and mealworms crawling all over your body. And then there was another, some kind of worm that I don't really know what it was. I'm not a worm expert. But anyway, I saw all of these things, and it just went on. And this man was frantically trying to get these people out of these churches. And, I mean, by this time I'm heartbroken. I'm kind of crying just a little bit, but I'm not moving. I'm perfectly still. I can't move, really. I'm in a state of shock, and I can't move. And so I'm laying like this just for hours, it seemed like. Like I said, I think it was along the lines of 4 hours. And the funny thing to me, and the visions and dreams are not funny, but when all this finally was over, the funny thing to me was my wife was just laying there peacefully sleeping, and I'm having all these horrifying dreams and visions of a place that nobody wishes on their worst enemy. But anyway, I saw this man trying to get all these people out of these churches, and he wasn't being very successful, but he tried his best, you know. And it was only one man. It wasn't a bunch of people. It was one man trying to help all these people. Anyway, when I came out of that, I went back into a vision, another vision of people being swept by a broom into what I call the awful place. And it just kept going and kept going and kept, I mean, you couldn't imagine the number of people that I saw being just, you know, I mean, it was just like you were sweeping up a mess, cleaning a mess up, and you were disposing of everything, just throwing it into the fire. You know, Jesus talked about in Matthew, to separate the wheat from the chaff, and the chaff will be thrown into the unquenchable fire. And I kind of, you know, I'm thinking about that now that I'm telling you guys this story. But anyway, I saw this broom. I went back to the vision of the broom just sweeping people into hell. And it was very, very, very disturbing, you know, because I'm seeing this. And then as I'm watching this, I'm also hearing all these demons keep repeating the same phrase that I shared with you earlier, evangelist, evangelist. You know, what are you going to do now? These people belong to us. You can't do anything about it. It's too late for them, evangelist. You may as well quit, you know, and all these things while I'm watching this stuff. So not only are the people in torment that I'm watching, I'm in torment while I'm watching. And it's very disheartening and heartbreaking. Well, after all of that, the visions quit. And those visions quit. Then I saw a picture of a clock. And the clock was ticking. And the best way I can describe this is if you've ever seen those cartoons where somebody's looking at the clock and it starts out real small and you can barely hear the tick, and it grows and the clock gets bigger, and as the clock gets bigger, the tick gets louder. That's the only way I can describe it. And so you'll just have to try to imagine that. Excuse me. But anyway, I'm watching this clock, and it's coming closer and getting louder and ticking and ticking. And I hear this voice, you know, and I'm not going to say what voice it was. Call it the voice of the Lord, the voice of an angel. You know, you can say, just try to figure out what you want to call it. I heard this voice say, there's not much time left. Now, I personally don't believe Jesus. You know, Jesus may not come back for another 100 years. But however long that it takes for him to come back is still not enough time. That's the way I look at it. You might have a different opinion, but I heard a voice say there's not much time left. Then after I saw that, I saw a faded image of a church. It was barely lit up. And the reason I knew it was a church is because it's in the shape of a modern church building or an old-timey church building. You know, it looks like a house, and it's got a steeple and all that kind of stuff. And it's got a sign. It had a sign out in the front yard. But I saw a bare an image. It wasn't bright. It was faded. And I heard another voice, with the same voice. I heard a voice say, "This is my church. This is my bride." That's what the voice said. "This is my bride, on whom I am waiting." And it stayed there. All this stuff happened, you know, in the span of at least 3 or 4 hours. Because I remember looking at the clock. I saw the clock before this happened, and I was awake to watch this vision most of the night. I didn't really sleep that night at all. Because, I mean, I dreamed those two dreams, and then I came and I had these 3 or 4 visions, and I had all these visions. And I had devils tormenting me. Now, the devils quit tormenting me whenever the visions of hell ended. They stopped all of their whatever they were trying to do to me right after the visions of hell ended. When I started looking at the other visions, the one of the faded church, and the faded, you know, the faded light, the one of the faded light church, and the vision of the clock, there was no more torment of the devils. It was only during the visions of hell. Anyway, I woke up, and for the next 3 days, I just cried for the lost people, you know, cried for lost people. I still cry for lost people. It was very serious and heartbreaking because, you know, the thing that hit me most was whenever the demons were saying, "Evangelists, you can't do anything about this," and that makes you just feel helpless. You know, even if you're a man of God or not, and you know, even if you know that you're a man of God and you're doing the best you can to get out there and to minister to these people, it's still heartbreaking, you know, and that's the feeling I had. I mean, I'm sitting there looking at all these people being swept into hell, and I'm like, what am I going to do here? You know, and I'm sure there's other ministers that feel that way. But, you know, I'm going to stop right there, and I want to thank everybody for listening. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to plug some things. If you would like to friend us, or if you would like to go to facebook.com/sonsofrighteousness and check out our page, Righteousness Radio is the media part of Sons of Righteousness Ministries. If you would like to know anything about of our ministry, or have us come and speak in your area, you can write SOR Ministries, P.O. Box 124, West Monroe, Louisiana 71294. If you would like for us to come and speak in your area also, you can contact Charlene, who does all the booking. You can contact Charlene at 318-732-2764. Like I said, we'll send you out a brochure. If you'll write P.O. Box 124, West Monroe, Louisiana 71294, and address it to SOR Ministries. In the days ahead, in the months ahead, I will be letting you know about a conference, a major conference that we'll be putting it on, starting once a year. Charlene had a dream, and we'll be excited to share that with you. But I'm going to say goodbye. to everyone. I hope this touched everyone's heart, and I thank you so much for listening. See you later. Bye-bye.